some big news out of Montreal, and the Habs are an interesting case study right now, because Andrei Markov, he's out of the picture. He's going back to the KHL, but it sounds like he still is waiting for a better contract offer from the Habs. It's almost like this is a game of chicken, and he's like, all right, I'm going to the K, but if you call me, I'll come back. Let's head to Montreal now and catch up with Arpan Basu from NHL.com. Arpan, thank you for doing this. Give us your take on how this came about. How did it get to a point where Markov, Bergevin, and the Habs, they just decided to part ways?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have all the details on it. We only have Markov's side of things. But basically, you know, describing it as a game of chicken is probably pretty accurate. Mark Bergevin, on July 2nd, when he announced the Carey Price contract extension, said that he has offers out to Alexander Radulov and to Andrei Markov. They're generous offers, and that it is a first-come, first-serve situation. The first guy to take the offer will get it. The other guy won't. We all know what happened with Radulov. He did not take the offer, which, as it turns out, was the exact same offer that he wound up signing with Dallas. So it seemed pretty clear that Andrei Markov would get what he wanted. So we don't really know what happened between then and today, but Andrei Markov did say today that he originally wanted 2 years, and the second year of that deal would coincide with the first year of Carey Price's new deal. So you could see why that would be problematic for the Canadians. So he admitted today that he actually came down from that, said he was willing to do a one-year deal, and it didn't work out, and that's what's puzzling. It's just without hearing from Mark Bergevin on that, and the Canadians have said he won't be made available today. So, I mean, it's basically, I have no way to explain why the Canadians would not sign Andrei Markov for 1 year. Just based on how effective he was last year, based on the left side of their defense being devoid of someone who could play top pairing minutes and play them as effectively as Markov did last season, and based on the fact that the Canadians' number one issue is offensive production, and Andrei Markov is someone that makes their offense go in many ways. So for him to come down from his initial ask of 2 years to 1 year and then still not being able to figure something out is somewhat baffling, to be honest.
So at age 39, and we've seen a quicker Andrei Markov certainly than we've seen the last few years, what exactly is left in him as a player?
Well, Markov's number one asset is his brain. And it always has been, but he had physical gifts to go with that. And those physical gifts are obviously deteriorating with age. Not as much as a typical 38 or 39-year-old, because he takes such extraordinary care of himself. He's legendary in the Canadiens gym. If you ask any member of the Canadiens who is the biggest beast in the gym, if you will, all of them will point to Andrei Markov. So, but his brain is what allows him to continue to be effective and continue to be competitive. The way he sees the ice, the way he thinks the game, and he's actually made adjustments to his own game to compensate for, I guess, slower foot speed. And you know, he's managed to think his way through that. So, you know, a lot of players like this, when more cerebral players, players who see the game on a different plane than the rest of the players do, are often able to compensate for those lackings because of that. And he's one of them. I mean, he's just so smart. And, you know, I mean, if you talk to any player about him, they'll marvel. I mean, it's I'll give you one example. Max Pacioretty last season was talking about Andrei Markov, and he kept bringing up attributes, and he kept mentioning the spin he puts on the puck on his passes, and he said it like two or three times. So at one point I'm like, what are you talking about with the spin on his passes? And he said that basically Andrei Markov knows when he's passing the puck what side that player shoots from. So if he knows that if he's a lefty shot, he's going to put a normal spin on his pass. But if he's a righty shot, or I might be getting this backwards, but anyhow, you'll get the idea. If he's a righty shot, he'll send a flat pass because the spin would go counter to the spin that the shooter would have when he's shooting it towards the net. So he spins it or doesn't spin it based on the hand that the guy is shooting with, and that allows them to get more velocity and more accuracy on their shot when they're putting it towards the net. And I was just flabbergasted. I was like, how in the heat of battle and making split-second decisions the way he does, are you able to even consider that in your decision-making process? And so it's just an example of the type of things that Andrei Markov does that players appreciate and that we as journalists or fans or anyone watching the game can't see. So things like that don't deteriorate as quickly as your legs. His legs were in fine condition, but I think they were somewhat benefited by sort of a mid-season mystery injury that he had that the Canes were never too forthcoming on and never really came out what it was. But he was supposed to be day-to-day, and he was day-to-day for about 3 weeks. So he got a nice little break in the middle of the season, which might have helped his legs towards the end of the year. But his brain works on an elite level and still does to this day.
With Arpan Basu from NHL.com/LNH.com joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The past two off seasons from Montreal have been a fascinating case study and just witnessing how people have reacted. And obviously last year it was a lot more extreme with the PK Subban for Shea Weber deal. But this year, I don't think they've improved. I don't think they've gotten better where they need to get better. That center ice is abysmal. Yet they get Price signed long-term, and they bring in Drouin. So you keep the face of your organization, the best player in your organization, a guy who single-handedly, I believe, will probably still get them to the playoffs, and a French-Canadian kid with a ton of talent. So how is the PR spin working this year from the Habs?
Well, to be honest, I mean, today is a big blow to that whole idea, because the PR on this is not fantastic. You know, I mean, with Markov coming out and saying what he did, what he means to the franchise, he's 10 games short playing 1,000 games. You know, I mean, he's 1 point away from being second all-time among defensemen in Canadian franchise history. He's tied right now with Gila Point for second. So he was coming up on all these great milestones. There's you know, there's sort of a great celebration going on. And his last point as a Canadian, obviously, now, but was the one that tied LaPointe. But it's tough. I think if Markov had come back, there's some ways that you could, it'd be a stretch, but you could argue in some ways that they're better. Because, you know, Alex Galchenyuk had that knee injury last year that really, really derailed his season. He was 11th in NHL scoring, playing center, when he hurt his knee in Los Angeles and was never the same player the rest of the season. So can he come back and be better? It's possible. Drouin, at 22 years old, never really got consistent top 6 minutes in Tampa, was going to get that here. Maybe he has another level that he can find right away. And I think that's not a stretch to say that at all. But losing Markov, and that sort of offsets the departure of Radulov. But losing Markov, and not only Markov, but they literally lost all three of their defensemen on the left side. They lost Markov. They traded Nathan Beaulieu right before the expansion draft. And then Vegas winds up taking Alexei Yemelin in the expansion draft. So really, instead of losing one player, they lost two players in the expansion draft. And the entire left side of their defense is gone. And so they've replaced that with Carl Alzner, who has his qualities but is not a puck-moving defenseman, to say the least. David Schlemko, who I guess is a bit more of that, but I mean, you know, he hasn't really proven his full value so far in the NHL. And then sort of a mishmash of guys, Mark Streit, 39 years old on a one-year deal, Brandon Davidson, who hasn't really established himself in the NHL, and this guy, Jakub Jarabek, who they signed from the KHL, who is apparently one of the better defensemen in the KHL, but we have no idea what he can offer here. So the entire left side of the defense has been remade, and the people that are replacing the players who are gone, no one really knows what to make of the great majority of them.
So I'm going to ask you to put your general manager's cap on for a moment. You have $6 million to spend, and you're Lou Lamoriello, and you can sign a free agent. Do you sign Patrick Marleau, or do you sign Andre Markov, and which one makes your team better?
Oh, well, I personally would sign Andre Markov. But Andre Markov was clear today that the reason he's going to the KHL is because he didn't see himself playing for another team, let alone Toronto. I mean, you're talking about a lifelong Canadian here. It would have taken, you know, I mean, if he says that he doesn't want to play for any other team, I think the last team he probably would have wanted to play for would have been Toronto under those circumstances, based on what he said today. But if you're asking me to disregard that, which player makes the team better in that age category? I would have to believe Andre Markov does. He has a massive impact on every game. Still can play more than 20 minutes a game. Makes your power play way better than it was before just by his sheer presence. I mean, the one thing Andre Markov does better than almost any defenseman in the NHL, but he's in the top three, if I'm being even conservative, is holding the offensive blue line. He is a magician when it comes to actually maintaining offensive zone pressure. And making outlet passes out of his zone into the neutral zone, like pucks that wind up that come off his stick and they land on a teammate's stick out of your zone. Those are two things that he does at a really, really, really high level still at this age. And they would help, I would think he would have more of an impact on the Leafs than a Marlowe signing would at that price point. But again, as I just said, I don't think Markov would do that in a million years.
Well, with that being the case, it really makes you wonder why Montreal wouldn't find a way to make this work. You know, I would disagree just based on the way the Leafs team is set up. I think Marlowe can still skate like the wind. I'm very concerned with the way Markov skates. I don't see him as much as you do, but when I watched him towards the end of the year, I think he's really lost a step. He probably had lost a step years ago, quite frankly, but Marlowe can still move. The Leafs are a high-paced team, and truthfully, the Leafs had the second-best power play in the league last year.
Until the playoffs.
Well, but even then, Steve.
They were missing that guy to run the point, which I think Markov does extremely
but
well.
You're telling me you want Markov to have the puck over Austin Matthews or William Nylander or Mitch Marner?
No, none of those guys are at the point.
Exactly. Your power play doesn't go through the point because you have Matthews and Nylander and Marner.
Every power play in the NHL goes through the point.
Okay, well, to your point, though, you don't believe when the Leafs had one, and yet they still have the second-best power play in the league.
Yeah, when you have a guy in the playoffs who can't shoot from the point, then they don't worry about taking the points. Therefore, everybody like Washington did backs up, and if I had the stats in front of me, and I don't.
Well, I have them in front of me.
Their playoff numbers were not good on the
power play. Well, they dropped off. They were 23.8% in the regular season. That was good for second in the league. They were 16.7% in six games.
Yeah, 16.7%, not good. And I think when you put
so you think guy, Andrei Markov puts them what?
Oh, I'm a big believer in him on the power play. He sees the ice tremendously well. He moves the puck tremendously well, and he makes those guys better, which is what great power play players do.
The one number I could throw out about Andrei Markov on the power play is he got a point on 80% of the power play goals that were scored while he was on the ice last season. No defenseman in the NHL had a higher percentage than that. I mean, he really, truly does have an impact on a power play. Your point about his legs is fair, but as I mentioned, he's found ways to compensate for that, and he still improves the pace of your team because he moves the puck so well, and his vision allows him to get the puck up the ice without actually skating it up the ice. And he gets it, and on a team like the Leafs, you know, he would get it into the hands of the guys that you wanted in the neutral zone with speed, in stride, and that's something that he's really, really good at. So, I mean, I think the point is fair that he has slowed down. He's definitely lost a step, but he does find ways to compensate for that at his age. And it's the amazing thing about Markov is that he played the last 10 years of his career for $5.75 million every year. It did not go up. It did not go down. That was his salary. I think his salary kind of went, but his cap hit for that whole time was $5.75 million a year. And why they couldn't go one more year at $5.75 million is really, really, really puzzling.
Yeah, that is strange. I mean, it makes you wonder how they're going to fill that role, where they're going to take it, if there's a chance these two parties come back together. I mean,
Price better be very, very good.
Well, he is.
Or this is not going to be a playoff team.
Better be very, very healthy, I would suggest. But appreciate the time and the takes. Thank you for doing this, Arpin.
All right, no problem, guys.
Arpin Basu from NHL.com.